Hello and welcome to episode 531 of Contending at the Water Cooler. I'm your host, Clarence Moy, and I am joined by the other two M's. So M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Plus, name your favorite Thanksgiving dessert.
Ooh.
On the spot, Joey.
Hi, I'm Joey Moser, soon to have a restraining order from Jonathan Bailey. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83. My favorite Thanksgiving dessert is a cheesecake where it's a layer of pumpkin cheesecake. No, it's a layer of cheesecake and then pumpkin cheesecake on top of it.
Ooh. Is it served at the Cheesecake Factory?
No, it's served in my kitchen.
Oh, you make it.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Megan.
I'm Megan McLaughlin. You can find me online at Hey Dude Meg. Also, I want to get in on that restraining order because count me in. And I'm going to go with, pumpkin pie is classic, but I was thinking of like a sweet potato pie is kind of cool. Nice. I kind of like those. Yeah.
Nice. And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. And I do not need a restraining order to keep me from Jonathan Bailey because I am chasing down Ariana Grande and probably getting thrown out of Singapore. Yes. But my favorite Thanksgiving dessert would be a chocolate fudge pie that is sold at the Fresh Market.
Ooh.
It is quite delicious. It is literally like someone poured a brownie into a pie and is eating it. It's very good. Anyway.
That sounds really good.
It is good. Looks like we've frozen Joey again.
He's being very pensive. I'm going to do a spell on him. Damn.
Get out the grimmery.
Oh, it would be cool if I just went like, that looks like, I do love this screenshot though.
He's like,
it looks like when somebody doesn't show up for an award ceremony and that's the thing, they're like, and Joey Moser nominated for best supporting actor. That's what it looks like.
I can't wait for this to happen the whole time.
Yeah, no, that won't be fun. Okay. All right, now that Joey has joined us again, welcome back, Joey.
Thanks.
So this week, we are here for good. That is wicked for good. We are here to talk about the film, now that we have all three seen it. And we're going to talk about critical reaction and online reaction and the Oscar race and whether or not Wicked still has a place in the Oscar race, from a devoted fan to what I presume to be someone who's meh on the film. Well, we'll see. I don't know. I haven't talked. I don't know.
Maybe.
Which one is which?
Yeah. I love the first one. I loved it so much.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh God, I love that. Yeah, I love remember. That movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we'll wrap with the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. Now, if you were joining us for our fantasy Oscar draft, we are going to defer that to next week because we just couldn't get our shit together because it's Thanksgiving week. And we have a lot of movies to watch for Critics' Choice voting. Spoiler alert to the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. And Netflix must hate Critics' Choice, but we'll talk about that later.
Oh.
All right. Mm. So, Joey, Wicked for Good. What is it? Have we heard of it? Make sure our listeners understand what this film is.
Wicked for Good is it is Act Two of Wicked. It is set a few years in the future, where Elphaba is now living in a fashionable treehouse. Glinda, is now sort of under the wing of Madame Morrible and the wizard. Let's see, her living quarters looks like as if Victoria's Secret was designed by a Brian De Palma art director. And it is about how the wizard and the government is basically going after Elphaba, stoking fear. This is not familiar territory at all. And how Glinda sort of has to step out of this thing that she always thought that she wanted to really kind of do the right thing.
It's about friendship. It's about women. It's
I
about every corporate thing being pink and green. I love love.
didn't know that it was 5 years in the future. Did they say that at some point? Did he freeze
I don't
again?
remember them saying it. I'm not
Damn.
cutting this one out. I don't remember them saying it. I did have to look it up, and they did, and the Wikipedia page told me it was 5 years in the future, if that was a reliable source. But I think
Because I
it's been a
was
good
confused.
while.
I was confused because I thought, like, oh wow, things have gone to hell. How did Nessa end up being the fucking governor? I was trying to
Because the father, did you not pay attention to the movie? You know,
Yes.
the father died because he had a heart attack because he was at the end of Wicked. He had a heart
Right.
attack because of what Elphaba had done.
Right. It's been a
And
while, so
she was
it's
appointed governor in his
okay.
place.
It had been a while though since I felt like the film it was disorienting to come back because I felt like I don't remember what happened, I guess. I had watched the last one a year ago, so I just remembered the defying gravity ending on that amazing high note. And I didn't remember like I don't know, I just felt like, oh, Nessa got there. I didn't know how she I didn't remember that part.
Someone had told me they thought it was 12 years in the future. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense.
No.
But it is. So Joey, what did you think of Wicked? Because you're a huge fan of the first film.
I remember speaking to the co-screenwriter last year, and I straight up told her, she was like, hi, I hated Wicked in college. And she was like, awesome. And we
Making
had a
friends.
making friend. No, but she's she but I the movie made me the film the first film made me a convert to the show. I wasn't a big fan of the show. I didn't like some of Elphaba's songs. I was What John Chu did with the first movie really made me like the musical and made me look at it in a completely different way. Now, the second part, and I'm sure we're going to talk about this, but I think the second part, and I think this has to do with a lot of the reaction, people have heard that the second act is not as liked as the first half. So I think a lot of people, and I actually think a lot of critical reaction was sort of filtered through that. I heard someone make an interesting argument that they're like, oh, all the good songs are in Act One. And I would actually kind of disagree. I think some of the better songs are in Act Two. I think that Act Two is such a tonal change from Act One. It's not bubbly. It's not a fairy tale. The first act in the first movie is a fairy tale. The second one is really not to like quote John M. Chu because I heard this a million times that he said part two is about consequences and the choices that you make and how you sort of go through that. I thought the beginning was, it took me a while to get oriented. I have thought this since I was 20 years old. I think the Wizard songs are my absolute least favorite. They are at the bottom of the pile for me. But after Wonderful, the other Wizard song is over, I think the movie really picks up. I think As Long As You're Mine, No Notes, No Good Deed, my God. There was a lot of stuff in here that I thought was like really cooking. I genuinely don't understand a lot of the critical reaction to this. Like a lot of people, the thing that I want to say that really drives me nuts, says the second film fails to capture the magic of the first film. And I really want to be like, bitch, they're not trying to capture the magic of the first film. This is a different thing. I think if you go through, if you go into the second movie, sort of embracing the fact that everything in Act One and movie one is left behind, then you will have a healthier, I'm using air quotes for people on the highway.
Marie.
I think that you ha will have a healthier and more endure and more enjoyable experience out of it. I don't agree that I saw all these people like they put too much of the Wizard of Oz in here, and I was like, "What movie are you signing up for?" I don't know. I liked it a lot. I would probably say if you had to pit them against each other, I was so enamored with Act One or Movie One, I would probably say I still like that one more. But I still think the second movie, the second movie makes me like the second act more than I did before. I think I'm really defensive of this movie just because I think a lot of people are really going after it for no reason. So I don't know. I will probably have a lot more to say, but those are my initial thoughts.
In good measure, I agree with you. I'm a little bit cooler on it than you are, but I did like it. I think the sticking points with this one in the first film, I think John M. Chu struggles with tone a little bit in terms of keeping it the pacing, keeping everything sort of building to, I mean, the whole film builds to defying gravity. The first film obviously builds to defying gravity, but there are some stumbling blocks along the way. Not everything is as smooth, I think, as it should be. But he's supported by such a tremendous score and great songs and, popular songs. Not, sorry, I don't mean to be popular. No, pun was actually not intended, but bigger moments, TikTok moments. And when you get to
Okay.
the, yeah, oh God, please tell me. Okay.
Sorry, we'll get to
Pause
that.
on my thought. What in 5 years caused all of a sudden everybody to say, I'll be back in a clock tick, even
And
Elphaba? And they never said that in the first one.
I, okay, I'm glad that you picked it 5 times, I think.
At
And the first time
least.
I was like, that's cute. The second time I'm like, oh wow, they're gonna say it again. Third time I'm like, this is a thing.
This is a thing. Anyway, unpause.
I blame inflation.
I
Inflation and Oz. I don't know what. Sorry.
I think the second film, you're right. After, when they get to a certain point, it does become very, very strong and in some ways can absolutely stand with Wicked itself. But I think that beginning is so rough for me. It just took a long, I mean, after it gets past Couldn't Be Happier, which is my favorite song in the second act. I just love that moment. I love what Ariana Grande does in that scene. I love that pensive. I mean, every Glinda that I've seen looking, performing this number on TikTok has done a fantastic job with that number. Just in the interior monologue that she's having while singing this song is really great. Then after that, when it gets to the Nessa Rose stuff, I think it just really drags. I don't like the act. Oh gosh, I can't. Marissa, well, I forget her last. Bodhi, yeah, who plays Nessa Rose? I don't like her in this. She was fine in the first one, but when she's having to cover or to carry some moments of gravity, I don't think she's as strong as everybody else in that scene. Even Ethan Slater playing Bach. I just had real problems with her, but she's only in there for 5 minutes and then she's gone. So house dropped on her, as we all know, in a really curiously directed scene where she's just rolling around the Munchkin land. And then all of a sudden the house just appears and it's just like, hey, we just want to get to her death as fast as we can. Pacing. I had a problem with the pacing of the first part of the film, but other, once it gets past, certain moments, No Good Deed, tremendously performed. Girl in the Bubble, I love the way that he uses mirrors in Girl in the Bubble, and just that was just kind of magical. I keep using words and not meaning to make puns out of them, but anyway,
You have these written down,
I
don't
did. I seriously don't,
you?
but I think it earns its conclusion. I think it rides on the two performances of Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande, and they bring it home, and it is in honor and celebration of those two actresses and the bond that they've clearly formed while making this. Megan, what did you think?
Hey, I'm a little nervous. I
Oh,
did not
God.
care for this movie. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Joey. But I think both things are true. I think you're right. I think critics are coming after it hard because they're like, they want to. I think that I also just was like, I do think that the Wizard songs like slowed down the movie. I'm like, oh God, he's gonna start singing again. Like, stop. I felt like with the first one, it moved so fast. Like, it was so like swift. And like, that's also a different tone. Like, so I don't think it's bad acting. I don't think it's bad direction necessarily. I just think it's a different story. And I almost feel like this is my idea. I almost feel like it needed a middle movie to get us to the end or something because it is such a big tonal shift. And like, I just felt like it was just, I don't know, it just dragged a lot for me. I mean, I love Cynthia Erivo. I thought Ariana Grande was great. I thought everybody was great. I just felt like it was very different. And I know it had to be different. So that's what I struggle with because like, I know that it's not going to be the first one. And like, there isn't anything like wrong with it, but it is, I mean, you did tell me it's 45 minutes. The second act is like 45 minutes long. It's stretching out a 45 minute act like to over 2 hours. And I felt that in this one. Whereas the other one, it was just so crammed with stuff and there was, and it is like I said, a completely different tone, but I felt like it just was such a big shift. And yeah, I was just, I just, oh, I, although there were highlights, of course, like for good, like there were so many, there are little moments that I really liked, but overall, I was just kind of disappointed.
Wah, wah,
I'm sorry.
wah.
But I agree with what you said. Like, I agree with what you said. I do think people are just coming after it so hard. Like, and like with the knives out on purpose
Yeah.
because they're
And
just mad.
it's because, number one, they didn't think that it should be two films to begin with. And to Joey's point, they were always going to hate the second act because mostly everybody hates the second act. Except for people who actually pay to go to the theater to see these movies, because everybody that I've talked to has loved it. Like, text, my wife absolutely loved it. My daughter loved it. Like, my daughter was sit at you. I went to a critic screening to see it for free, and she was perched in her seat with her knees up under her chin as she was just staring at the screen in ways that. Because it is darker, it is heavier material, and she had really reacted to some of the bubblier stuff. And Ariana Grande doesn't give as bubbly of a performance this time. And it is a much darker, much more serious material. But my wife, friends that have seen it, loved it. I mean, people are not online are loving it. So,
I think my other issue is I didn't like the new songs. I didn't like the girl in the bubble. I didn't like the one, was it Feels
There's no
Like
place
Home
like
or
home.
There's No Place Like Home. Like, I don't even remember. Like, I just felt like they were very like forgettable, I guess. And I think all the other songs are pretty memorable. And or like I also think it's hard to add a new song into this universe when it has a distinct sound, and I just didn't feel like it captured the sound of the, but that's just me. But like I appreciate this film. I just think that just I yeah, I just was not into it and I was really bummed.
I felt that way about There's No Place Like Home, but I really responded to Girl in the Bubble because I felt like it was the one of the two. It was the new song that he knew how to direct, that he knew how to insert creatively. And There's No Place Like Home is just her just kind of walking through the woods and showing animals and it didn't. I don't think that they had a good understanding of how to incorporate it into the narrative of the film. It does feel, cut paste insert. to
Yeah, I
me.
would agree with you on that. I think the girl in the bubble made more sense for like as a new addition, and the No Place Like Home kind of slowed things down a little bit.
Which song did you prefer, Joey? How did you react to those? As somebody who knows the score.
Honestly, when I was watching the movie, musically, I liked Elphaba Song more. But when I saw Girl, well, the not weird thing, but Girl in the Bubble come literally is actually between, like they insert it in the middle of the March of the Witch Hunters, which I thought was funny. But I like the direction of I like John M. Chu's direction of Girl in the Bubble, and I've listened to Girl in the Bubble more than I've listened to No Place Like Home. So I think ultimately I would like Girl in the Bubble. I think that Girl in the Bubble sound on it actually also sounds a little bit like something that maybe Ariana Grande would perform herself. But no, I get that. I get the criticism with. Okay, so I spoke with the editor today, Myron Kirstein, who did he was nominated for an Oscar last year. He did the editing for Tick Tick Boom. He and I were talking about how this I can kind of understand how people say they wish it wasn't two movies, but at the same time, if it was one movie, I'm not even talking about like the stuff that people would be mad at that they cut. Like, just thinking about what that adaptation would look like, I think it would have been mangled. And I actually thought during the first movie, I didn't realize like they kept everything in there. I didn't realize they didn't cut any songs at all. And then I actually thought that the first movie, it didn't drag to me. It didn't feel rushed at all. I don't know. I love the pacing of the first movie. And the second movie, I think that they do a lot of things that respond to what they started with in the first time around. Like, I like Girl in the Bubble more, but they try to really establish a payoff with the animals in the second movie. So they have the whole thing with her showing like the them going into hiding, and I'm not gonna lie, I was really sort of not embarrassed that I the end when the animal spoiler, but the thing with the animals at the end of the movie I thought was actually a nice touch, just because I thought, well, if you're gonna show that this is the jumping off point for Elphaba to really go against the wizard at first, then I feel like seeing that at the end was a nice thing. I am dying to talk to Dana Fox again, one of the co-writer of the screenplay. I have questions for her.
What would you ask her? Just curious.
I would be curious as to how they handled that. I'd be curious about how they talked about adding the flashback for Glinda to sort of balance out the flashback for Elphaba. I think the thing about this is they did a lot of stuff that talked about balance, but like there are moments obviously where like one is on screen and the other is not, but I feel like there is a lot of balance between them. It's never about one versus the other. It's them as a unit together. And then the other thing I would be it's just like small choices like in the stage show, as far as I remember, Glinda's not in the wonderful scene, and they put her in it.
No, right.
And so I'd be curious as to why they decided to do that. Stuff like that. I think there's more, but I can't think of it off the top of my head right now. But I feel like I'm talking a lot. I'm sorry.
No. This is your thing. You
Welcome
absolutely
to
can have it.
Fagyak. My dog keeps trying to go upstairs, and I keep trying to pull him back down. My little Toto is driving me crazy. Like watching him like a hawk. That's interesting what you were
Speaking of
saying.
to yeah, speaking of Toto, I keep seeing people online that are saying trying to compare this to the 1939 film Wizard of Oz and be like, oh, that doesn't make any sense that the witch is trying to burn the scarecrow when it's really Fiero and she loves Fiero. And then they're like, no, it's because she knows he can't die. So they're just playing an act. And I'm like, these are not the same things
You
people
don't have to
listen.
connect it. No.
No.
I mean, also, actually, going back to your last question, I'm sorry. I saw a TikTok that said that in every version of The Wizard of Oz, you see Dorothy holding Toto. And this is the first version where you see Toto on a leash. And someone said that that was probably a conscious choice about the how animals are domesticated. And they said something about it would be interesting if I want to ask the co-screenwriter Dana if that was something that was written in or it's just like an accident. Not an accident, but like just a choice that they made, like, oh, the dog is on a leash, or if that is something, because you don't see Elphaba reacting to it, but it is sort of an interesting parallel if you think about, not parallel, but it's an interesting thought to think
Yeah,
of.
that is really interesting. I was gonna say something else and I can't remember. I don't want you to think I'm a hater. I was so worried that you would be mad at me, like
This is not a
Joey.
Muppet
No, I
movie
don't.
scenario.
What?
Is this
This is not a
the
Muppet movie scenario.
Muppets? Like,
Year was 2011.
because I love the fact that you like really enjoyed the second one. And I think it's gonna make a buttload of money. And there are lots of things I did like about it. I almost feel like, and I know that, I knew obviously it's related to The Wizard of Oz. That's what the whole story is about. But I really enjoyed the characters when they were not connected to that too. And I wonder if that's what people were responding to too. It's like, just them existing, but even though they, but like, tying it was more tied together in this one. It was like, Dorothy's almost a villain, like, which is kind of
She
funny.
100% is.
Yeah. And
Well,
I thought that, like, so I felt like it was kind of like more wedged in this one than it was in the first one. If you're not familiar with the show, I don't know what the show's like, but yeah,
she's
I
not in
guess
the show.
she's not in the show. Okay. I
No,
just
it's a
kind of,
silhouette, right? She's a
yeah,
silhouette on the
you
backdrop.
see a silhouette and she's referenced like once.
I just felt like, oh, I didn't need that. I didn't need any of that. Like, I would have just liked it without that.
I saw somebody saying that someone was like, I mean, there was too much Dorothy. And I was like, you don't see her face.
Right.
Like
You
you
don't see her.
she's
Yeah.
always like the I actually said I say this as like a compliment. I was just like, what is Dorothy's purpose in Wicked for Good? Her purpose is to leave the room. Every time that you see her, she's like, bah, that's every single time you see her. So I was like, shut up. There's just too much. There's just too much. There's like a hint of gingham here. It's like, give her some ponytails, a hint of gingham. That's it.
Hint of gingham. I love
Yet again, another fantastic title for your autobiography.
that. Can you now read my text messages to you
Oh,
during
sure.
the
So
film?
Megan was watching the film. It's not that many, but I'll show
No.
you. Go back. So okay. The first one that I get completely out of nowhere. Bach is a loser. And I said, yeesh, Megan, he's a loser for being held against his will because he doesn't love Nessa. She's like, well, no, because he's in love with Galinda. And I said, oh yeah, borderline incel territory. And she goes, yeah, like, bro, she knows you like her. And then she said, I'm so excited for the sex cardigan. Oh, dang, they're gonna fuck in the air.
Oh, I
Oh,
can't believe I
yeah.
said
Oh,
that.
yeah. Take that cardigan off, girl. And
Forgot
then I
that.
said, Jonathan Bailey looks so hot in that movie. And she said, Jesus Lord Christ.
I
Can I read the next one?
go ahead, keep going. I can't
Okay, so
remember what
he said. She said, I heard families were put off by that scene. Meanwhile, I got off on that scene. See what I did there?
I said that too. This is all new to me.
And then She took a picture of her dog sleeping and said he was into the movie for a while and fell asleep. And I said, like so many dads across America. And then just randomly, she says, "Oh, dang, JB is shirtless." And then I didn't say anything. And then, like 2 minutes later, or a little while later, "Okay, JB is still hot as the Scarecrow." And I said, "Yep."
His face is like little straw face. I just want to go like this to him.
And he can never die.
I know. Oh, you're right. Are you anticipating that they're gonna do some sort of spin-off of this film with like Glinda as a child?
Oh, as a
You know,
child?
Gregory Maguire announced today that he's writing a book called Galindo.
Like, we don't need this.
No,
We don't need
Jason
this.
just read there's another one called Elfie about her as a little as Elphaba as a little girl. And the first thing that when he's like, "Oh, I bought this," because he's read all of them, and I was like, "Leave that little green bitch alone." Like
Yeah.
her whole life. I don't need to. I say this all respectfully, as if it doesn't, but it's just like I don't need to know every ounce of anything.
Well,
Maybe.
there's sequel material already out there because he wrote Son of a Witch, among other things.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get
About.
like. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, that one's just about Fiero and Elphaba's child.
Oh, I didn't know that. I was thinking maybe we could have something about Bach that's like Joker, but it's like and him being very angry was so January 6 coded, like towards the end. When he looks up at Glinda, I'd be like, girl, run. Like
Yeah, he's
he's
an angry
super
man.
creepy in this
I really
movie.
expected her in her Ariana Grande voice be like, "Fuck." just like
Oh,
reacts like, "Oh shit, I probably should have gone on a date with him."
I did like how they say "oh shiz" in
Oh
this
shit. Yeah.
at one point.
Yeah.
That was acceptable over the in a clock's tick. What was it?
In a clock tick.
Oh,
I'll be back
in
in
a
a
clock
clock
tick.
tick. Clock tick. Yeah, I
Maybe
was.
that's in the book. Maybe I don't know.
But
Well, they
why?
had the in the show they've got the dragon clock over the stage, but you never see it in the movie, I don't think.
No. Let's see. Wait a clock tick.
Which is yeah, it just it that I would love maybe you could if you interview the co-screenwriter, maybe that would be a question that you could ask because I would
Yeah.
love to know the answer to that.
Me
Why
too.
all of those references?
Because I was like, was this a thing in the first one? Like, I couldn't remember.
I don't remember.
I also think people are being really harsh on Michelle Yeoh. Like, I think she's fine in this. Like, I don't understand why people are just so mean online about this film. I get Joey why you're defensive of it because like I was mad at myself for not liking it, but I was also
No,
like,
like
yeah, but I
not
just think
liking it
people.
is one thing, but like to sort of the sort of like vitriol to say that like John M. Chu doesn't know what he's doing and he sucks. And I was like,
Right.
and
Shut
Alice
up.
Brooks. Don't forget Alice
Oh my
Brooks.
God, everyone, shut up about Alice Brooks.
I thought that I th actually thought the cinematography was like I could see why they didn't like some people didn't like the first one. I actually liked the cinematography better in this one.
I did too.
I thought the production design was incredible. Costumes were still great. Like even just the way like Nessa's bodice was kind of like weird, and I liked that. And like the you could see so much of the texture in Madame Marable's like dress. Like it was just so like punctuated.
The
I thought it
Marables,
looked
Wicked Witch. Madame
like what
Morrible. Madame Morrible is the Wicked Witch.
oh, she's the Wicked Witch?
No, haven't you seen Michelle Yeoh do that
Like
like again and again and again? If you take
Ah.
MM and turn it upside down, it's W double. She's the Wicked Witch. And there's a compilation of her going into every red carpet saying that exact same thing, and she says it like seven or
Oh,
eight times.
I didn't know
But
that.
yeah, sorry.
But
I,
yeah,
but
I thought everybody was good in it. I just was like, I think it was just that the story is different and it's like I also wonder, this is my one final thought on this. What if they would have had like split this where it was like the first one came out in the summer and the second one came out in like Thanksgiving, like of the same year? Like, would that have been a better fit, like culture-wise? I don't know. Like, I just feel like it's was a year is so long between a movie like this, and I just wonder if that would have been a better split.
That's a good question. I don't. They probably wouldn't. I mean, that would probably make sense to give less time between. But I feel like, Universal would have wanted to make this a huge event. They wouldn't want two separate movies with two different, because they're so different. They wouldn't want them to compete against itself for the
Yeah.
Oscars, I'm assuming. Like, I saw people being like, what a cash grab. And I was like, this isn't Breaking Dawn part one and
Right.
two. Like, it makes sense as to why they broke it in half
Yeah.
to me. But it's I can see that. That would have been I haven't seen anybody suggesting that. Especially
Or
if
even
one
just like a
is
month apart. Because, like, didn't they do that with another movie too, where it was like, or just like a couple months apart? I feel like they've done that before. But I just feel kind of like the fact that I didn't remember what happened at the end of the first one. And I was kind of like, but I did remember other things. Like, whenever they showed the wizard, like, hooking up with Elfie's mom, I'm like, oh, I remember that. But I didn't remember what happened to Nessa and the dad. I didn't remember all that. Like, and I wasn't sure. Yeah, there were just some things that I was like, oh, if you don't see it for a year, you're gonna forget. I mean, I did. Just a
Following up
thought.
on what you said, I walked into this and I thought, well, this may not do as well with crafts because people are going to think, oh, it's just the same sets, it's the same, look and feel, but it feels different.
Oh, it feels
It
completely different.
evolved. And the costumes are just as outstanding as they were in the first one. The production design is incredible. I do think the cinematography is better. There's no glaring moment like Dancing Through Life, with the natural lighting sort of just pouring in from the windows and kind of washing out the scene a little bit. This is craft wise, I think it's a better constructed film.
Yeah, I think just from the if I may say costume nerdery for a second, like the materials look heavier. Like the material, like
Yeah.
the only thing that I was a little bummed about costumes wise is, and I saw a rumor online about what this could explain this, is that there was one of the posters that dropped with Ariana Grande in this like asymmetrical poofy pink and green dress, and it's in one of the trailers, and I think they reshot that scene, but that would have been the original, thank goodness, I think, because it mirrors how on the Broadway version, when she sings, I couldn't be happier, it's like an asymmetrical dress with a cute little hat, and it's supposed to be like her inner conflict. She doesn't know what to believe, so it's asymmetrical, and that it's a I had to find it, but I was dying to see that dress, and it just didn't appear. So, gay.
How did you feel about the scene where they're like all hanging out in a field? Like I saw some people online saying that like, oh, this was very much like your first year of college friends, like that you don't. And like, I kind of was like, when did this happen? Like when were they ever all hanging out? It made me think of like Legally Blonde 2. Remember
How
how
dare
you and I
you?
were upset in the beginning because like she's flipping through like a yearbook of stuff or like pictures of like her, and we were like, who took these photos? We're
This,
like,
oh no, you can't see it.
ah.
This, I don't know if you can. Oh no, I'll go slowly towards the. Oh fuck, and she's dead. She disappeared.
Oh,
I'll
yeah,
send
I
it to you.
remember that. I've seen
Okay.
that. Yeah, it's a beautiful dress.
Yeah. Tool.
I mean, I think
Yeah.
it's just a throwaway 5 second moment, and it could
It
have
appears
happened at
twice,
any.
though.
Yeah, well, it's in the tr that
Was in the
scene
first. It was in the
for,
trailer for like the first one.
It appears where they she's thinking back on things, and it appears at the end too. And I was just kind of like, oh, like, and I love it because it's an homage to the like the playbill, the whisper. But I was like, I wish they would have had that in the first one, because then it would have meant something. If they actually did have a moment, then it would have been like, oh, I remember that. This
I
meme.
think to counter that, I would say that it would be something about their enduring friendship. The whatever she whispers in her ear, we don't know what it is.
Right.
So,
I don't have to know that.
No, I
I
know what
kind
it
of
is.
I shut up. I actually, the way that I kind of reconciled it in my brain, I saw other people being like, when is this? I
Yeah.
imagined it was after they left the Oz Dust Ballroom in the first one, or a little bit after that.
Okay.
Before shit gets real.
Yeah.
I will say, last thing I want to say, Michelle Yeoh. I didn't like her. I still don't like her singing. I think they should have cast someone who could sing in that role. A Cheryl Lee Ralph, who played it on Broadway, who was in that, who played the role on Broadway, and one of the people, the actresses to play the role on Broadway, or Glenn Close. yes, it just, I think that's why people are coming so hard on her. And she sometimes looks lost in the scene, especially when she's given the line, "She's here to kill us all," or whatever. She's just constantly saying that over and over again. It's almost as annoying as being back in a clock tick. And I don't know. I felt like she just didn't. I wanted that role to be someone else, and I will never not look at this film. In my review, I talked about in 20 years, you'll see this on between Thanksgiving and Christmas in that corridor, showing on cable television after, in repeat iterations over and over and over again, because it's that kind of film. But I will never not watch this and think, boy, that's just a not great casting moment. I
That's
mean,
fair
I can
enough.
understand that he would want to work with her. She's a great performer, great actress, but just did not work here for me at all.
I think because she's not somebody too who's like her the good things about her were her subtlety sometimes. Like I always think of like Crazy Rich Asians, how good she was in that, and it was just like with not saying things. And here you kind of have to be loud and like, speak to the people in the back type of thing, and like and be a little over the top. And I don't know if that's something that she's n necessarily known for.
Yeah, she's not comfortable in it.
Yeah, she plays well, I think, with like the mystery of the character.
Yeah.
But I think any time that I've seen it, sort of like what Clarence is saying, there's a little bit of a it's just a different take. There's like every other version that I've seen. Like I'll send you, Megan, there's a clip of God, what's her name? Something Shelley. Oh my God, bad gay, bad Carol Shelley, who did it on Broadway, when the scene where like Glinda realizes that Madame Morrible is awful, she like growls like an animal. She sounds like it should be. Every version that I've seen of it, she's Madame Morrible could just be played by a drag queen. And like Rue McClanahan played this on Broadway, for God's sake.
Oh my
But
God, I didn't realize that.
yeah, I heard she wasn't that good, but how dare people say that?
Right, seriously.
Doesn't
Yeah.
matter. Don't speak
Is
ill of
that
the
just
dead.
is that with the rule? Everybody just says that whoever's in it is they're not good.
It's just like, so I don't know. I'll send you the video of it, because it's a really, I remember seeing that video when I was younger, like in college, and I was like, who, this was before I saw it, I was like, who is this? Like, what is going on? Yeah.
So, I want to bring this back to sort of the Oscars. So, the critics are lukewarm on it. Good, mixed to good reviews, I think is fair to say. Film Twitter has decided that it's dead, DOA for sure. Maybe Ariana Grande is kind of what they're all saying. What do we think? Do we think it still gets in the 10?
I don't. I think Ariana Grande gets in. Well, which I also wanted to talk about how it has Ariana Grande Butera at the end in the credits, which was funny because I don't believe she was that in the first one, was she?
Let's look it up. I think she
But
was actually.
I think she gets in. I think production design. I get think costumes, and I think that's it. That's
I
my
think that's
prediction.
it.
Yeah.
Sound. I think
Oh,
musicals
maybe
usually get
sound.
sound.
Maybe sound. Yeah, sound
Visual
and
effects.
yeah, and visual effects. But I don't think it's gonna get in for picture. I don't think Cynthia Erivo gets in. And not speaking to that their performance, I just think because she doesn't. She had like bigger moments in the first one. This one, it's she has some good ones, but they're shared with Ariana Grande. Ariana Grande has more moments by herself of like reflection that I think, you can always pick out what's going to be their award, like their nomination like clip, their awards clip. But that's what I think. But I'm anxious to hear, Joey, what do you think?
I currently still have it in. I think I originally had it a little higher. I think I had it at like 7 or maybe 6. I think that, sorry, I'm looking up to see if it's, I think it gets, I think Ariana Grande definitely, I think I currently have Cynthia Erivo. I think the reason why I'm sticking is because exactly kind of like what she did have Butera at the end. Just to throw it out there. I think that the industry, especially the individual guilds, are going to respond to it. And I think there are people who still love it. Like, I think a lot of the stuff that we're seeing is a lot of just film Twitter people. I think I would probably knock it down in the predictions maybe to 9 or 10. But I think it gets picture. Okay, this is me being like wide net. I think it gets picture. Actress are probably a little lower. Definitely supporting actress, costumes, production design. I think it gets makeup. I think it
Oh
gets
yeah, I don't get makeup. That's what I think.
sound. I think it'll get song. I think it'll get. The first one got 10. I think this one will probably get 7.
I can see
Yeah.
that. Yeah.
But
Claire, is
I
that
don't.
where you are too with that or?
Yeah, I mean, I bumped them down. I mean, I'm still keeping, talking about Cynthia Erivo, I'm still keeping her at, I'm putting her at 5. I need to see Testament of Anne Lee. I need to see people reacting to that. Like, I know film Twitter loves it. I'm
Right.
sure it's a great movie, but I need to see the real world reacting to it.
Well, it's one of those movies too that you're watching it and you're like, how do I feel about this? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Okay, I like this performance, but then it is really stuck with me. That movie has really stuck with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't think there are that many more candidates coming up behind because I'm a person who does not think that Chase Infinity kind of stands a chance in hell at getting nominated.
I don't
That
think she does
was
either.
because I don't think she needs to be in the best actress conversation. And I think a lot of people, I mean, she's good. She was one
Yeah,
of my
she's
favorite
great. Yeah.
performances in the film, but she is a supporting performance. And I think it's easier for people to go, unless you are an icon like Anthony
Yeah.
Hopkins in Silence of the Lambs, to take and elevate a supporting performance to a lead actor performance. It is not an iconic role in that film.
Right.
Sorry, that's Teyonah Taylor.
Yes.
That's,
Yeah, I agree.
But I do think it's still in for picture. But I think it's really interesting. If it gets in for picture, they're going to celebrate it for being the film that cured the box office doldrums where every single thing in October and early November flopped. Like 6 weeks of just disastrous box office returns or immediate fall offs. But if they vote for it, they'll celebrate it because they want it on their ceremony. They want Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande there. I think there is something to celebrate from that perspective. Where I'm sort of lost is how many foreign films are they going to get in this year? Like Sentimental Value seems very safe. What else is there that is going to potentially bump out Wicked? Are they, it was just an accident seems like it's getting in, but not that many people are talking about it.
I feel like No Other Choice is another one that I keep.
Yeah.
I'm Secret Agent, I have seen, and I don't think that gets into the 10 lineup. But I mean, who knows? Maybe the reception for that is like stronger than what we think.
I think that going back to a little bit of Ann Lee is first, I will say the first, I haven't seen it yet, but the first person that says like Ann Lee should get in over Wicked because it's a better musical. And I would just want to be like, please look at the swath of, there's not one good musical. Like there's different types of musicals. Look at Broadway. I think that Ann Lee is going to be a. I saw some people predicting it for Best Picture. I think that movie is tough. There are people that it's a beautifully
I'm
crafted
not
movie.
predicting it for Best Picture.
I saw some people doing it online, and it was just like I saw. Now this is just the one screening that I saw. Tip: I counted 8 people walked out of that critic screening of that movie, and I don't see a lot of. Like that having a unanimous rapturous applause.
Right.
That's going to be a tough. That's going to be more interesting because it's going to be all over the place. I'm ex excited to see it. Maybe I'm completely wrong. I don't know, but I do agree, Clarence, that like what else is coming up after everyone has already assumed that Marty Supreme is in. So that's it. So if you have so one battle after another, Sinners, Hamnet, Sentimental Value, Marty Supreme. It was just an accident.
Frankenstein.
Frankenstein, Avatar. Everyone's holding a place for Avatar. But Avatar underperformed for The Way of Water. Maybe this will be just about the same, maybe better. And then I think Wicked takes one of the last two slots. And then is it J. Kelly? Is it? It's not. I don't think it's Begonia. I don't think it's Secret Agent. I don't think it's. I would love it to be Train Dreams. Maybe it's No Other Choice, like you said. I don't think it's House of Dynamite. I don't think it's.
I do think Train Dreams is having a little surge.
Yeah.
Like,
Oh, it's so good.
yeah,
I
it is
love it.
really good. And Joel Edgerton is an interesting, that's a really good performance. And he's kind of, he's an underrated actor. And I think actors are going to really respond to that movie and that role.
See, this is where I get frustrated with Netflix, where they have multiple really good movies, but they put all their money behind what they think is going to win Best Picture. And it's, you know, take all of your deserving films forward. You know, don't just abandon them. Like Green Dreams is having a resurgence, and it's in this despite their campaigning, I would argue. So.
Yeah.
I could see some people responding to the filmmaking of that. You know, I think the easy, I'm not saying this is bad
Cinematography.
easy. Yeah, the cinematography
Yeah.
is stunning. That's a movie that they're probably going to be like, you know, it's Terrence Malick-esque. It's very filmmaker friendly. If you want like to respect the art of filmmaking, you nominate Train Dreams. So I don't know. I think it's in. I think it's I mean, it made more like I saw some. I got into a conversation with someone. They were like, "Well, I think the big crafts movie that's going to be in is Frankenstein." I was like, "There's room for Frankenstein and Wicked." I think they're going to go head to head on a lot of
Yeah.
stuff. So I don't know. I don't know if No Other Choice gets in. I feel like that sort of got a little quiet, but I think it was just an accident, and Sentimental Value are definitely in.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're not going to see 4 international films getting in.
No, I don't think so.
And so my argument is I Begonia
I'm
seems
sorry.
to have
Yeah.
lost.
I went off your thesis. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. So that leaves Wicked. It's still there. I think it's still there. Its heart is
Yeah,
still
maybe you're
beating.
right. Yeah.
Because I don't, you know, Begonia kind of fallen off. It's really just kind of seen as an Emma Stone play at this point.
I don't even know if she gets in now either.
I mean, we should talk about this next week, but
Yeah.
who else would get in there? Because I don't think it's Jennifer Lawrence. critics are going to have to come strong for Rose Byrne.
Right.
It's,
I could see Rose Byrne, though, getting in before Emma Stone at this point, because I feel like Begonia kind of came and went. Like, and I'm not speaking to, I love Emma Stone in that. Like, I wish she would have, I wish she'd win the Oscar for this of all her movies. I just think she's so bonkers crazy. But yeah, I feel like no one's talking about it.
Yeah. Well, none of it matters because Jesse Buckley's winning. So it's Jesse Buckley, the winner, and four actresses. You're going to get nominated. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else on Wicked or its Oscar potential?
No.
No.
I think we can put this to bed for good.
Yeah.
Please kill me. Please kill me.
I am changed for the better from this conversation.
Oh, you know what? Now I want to see an AI version of Wicked for Good, but Megan and Joy.
Who would
I'm Glinda.
Yeah, he would be Glinda. You would be Elphaba for sure.
Wait, I'm Elphaba?
Yeah.
You're literally wearing green.
I really want to be that bitch in the beginning, though.
I have to expect every time you see her and she was like, is it true that you were her friend? But I want her to be like, is it true that you were her friend?
Yeah.
Oh, it's like that
holding
girl
up her phone, be like, we're on live. Here we
are. Yeah, like, is it true you're your friend?
Like the opening of that movie, Zola, I was like, this is a story about how me and this bitch fell out. It was like, Wicked, part one.
Yes.
All right, let's jump to the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in this Thanksgiving week. And Megan, why don't you go first?
So I'm going to a concert. I'm seeing the Beths on Wednesday, which I'm really excited about. I also have screeners to watch, lots of things to watch. I also want to shout out that I moderated a TV panel at the Pittsburgh Film Conference last Saturday, which was a lot of fun. And I forgot to mention that last week. I'm trying to think of other things that I want to watch. There's so many. I feel like there's a TV show. Oh, the Chair Company finale is coming. And I'm really excited for that. And I guess that's probably about it.
Joey?
Okay, so yesterday I watched 5 movies. And I told Megan that I don't know how I did that in the theater in my 20s and still had energy to, like, you know, go out and do stuff. So I'm going to be sitting at home watching movies. I'm trying. So, like, our Critics' Choice ballot is due in early December, like the first week of December, and I'm already stressed out. And so I'm going to be watching a lot of screeners. And then I want to get really good. I feel like I've abandoned television a little bit. And I feel really bad, television. I'm sorry. I'll start answering your calls. I want to get more into All Her Fault. Okay, I started watching The Couple Next Door. That is going to be trash to trash. And I can't wait to watch it. It's only 4 episodes long. I'm on episode 7 of season 5 of Only Murders in the Building. I haven't finished it yet. I don't know who the killer is. I don't know anything. I don't know who dies in the next season. I want to write a piece because they announced that the next season is going to be in London. I want to make like a top 10 of the 10 British actors who should be on Only Murders in the Building. So hopefully I can, you know, get around to fucking finishing that. Of the movies that I'm most excited to see, I'm assuming, excited, I'm using air quotes here. I'm assuming what I am excited to see is something that Clarence is excited to see. Excited, again, with air quotes. Bah, bah, bah. No?
What is that?
Song Blue, you fuckers. What?
Oh, Song Sung Blue, oh. Yes. I'm really excited to see that. I don't know what bum bum bum.
Sweet Caroline.
I'm sorry. That is like the straightest white male song, and I was not ready for you.
I basically said it with a sibilant lisp. Like, what are you talking about?
Then I would have.
Where?
You know, I want to see it just because I want to be able to put this fantasy to bed. But we'll see. We'll
We
see.
never know. That yeah. could be that
you never know.
But
you
oh,
never know.
Fuck you.
And there's no, I mean, there's already a massive narrative, and at some point, there's a it's hard to stop a narrative.
Yeah.
The coda effect.
Were you done, Joey?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Please, someone shut me up.
All the screeners, you know, I need to watch before December 3rd so that I can do my voting with good conscience. And I don't know how I'm going to do that with all the family drama that's going on and all the Thanksgiving and the need to watch family things during a family period. It's just a terrible time. And boohoo, whine, whine, complain, complain. But studios have been very, very late in sending us their screeners. They held things that had no reason to hold them. I would have, you know, it would have been much easier to watch these things in the beginning of November. And like the big titles really just started to show up. And we still don't have Marty Supreme. And I don't know how I'm going to see that before next Wednesday. I'm hoping that we get an A24 screener, but not too worried about the Avatar, but that's okay. TV wise, I am continuing my fascination and repulsion of It. Like, you know, the episode 3 kind of dipped a little bit for me, but episode 4 had some of the most disgusting and nightmare inducing material I've seen yet on the show. Have you watched the latest one, Joey?
No,
no,
because we're
Christmasing. Yes, of course. Yeah, okay, got it. Blink twice if you're not safe.
Christmas. I love Christmas.
Stranger Things season 5 starts its long delayed march to the end, and I feel like I'm sure that this is wrong, but I feel like the entire world is just, let us see it so we can be done with this because we're tired of talking about it. We're tired of these kids. We're tired of that little kid that doesn't like Palestine. you know, the one that everybody hates online because he's pro-Israel.
No. Now?
No, yeah, that one.
See, I just thought everybody hates David Harbour right now.
Well, him too. And I don't know. Just this. I think everybody's, and it's probably going to do very, very well. And I just feel like everybody's just exhausted with this already. But anyway, Stranger Things season 5 starts Wednesday night.
Wow. Okay. I didn't realize that.
Yep. And I am almost done with Hamnet. Even though I knew what was going to happen, the book goes maybe just over halfway before what happens to Hamnet happens. I'm assuming people know, but I don't want to spoil it. I mean, their trailer is pretty evident as to what happens, but the description of the moments after and the days after had I was driving to work and like tears streaming down my face. Damn it. It's really beautiful. It's a beautiful book. I'm getting to one part where it's getting a little bit redundant. And I think it's the point where they're talking about Agnes's life and how nothing is the same, nothing matters anymore. And it keeps belaboring that point again and again and again. And I think it's a literary effect. It's just kind of, you know, I want to get to the part. I want to get to, but then it jumped. It had some interesting stuff with Will, or the father, as they call him in the book, his reaction to what has happened. So it's a great book, great movie. And if you are in New York or LA and you haven't seen Hamnet, you should by all means go see it this weekend because it is my choice for the best film of the year. So.
Yeah, me too. I will say that, you know how like upset I was when the upset and happy I was when the second trailer for Hamnet got out and we were fortunate enough to be quoted in it. And then as I was watching, I was like, oh, that's like the whole movie in this trailer. So it's like an outline of the movie. And I was like, okay, maybe they just assume people know what happens going in. But I was just like, they're like, oh, the new trailer for Hamnet is out. And I told at least two people, I was like, watch it on mute. That way you can enjoy the quotes from the contending, but not on.
Yes, I took a screenshot of my quote.
I took a screenshot of both your quotes.
Yeah. And I love where they put mine because it's over the puppet sequence.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It looks really good.
Nice.
Anyway, does that cover it?
Yeah.
All right, let's get the hell out of here. So we are the 3M's contending co-founders, Clarence Moy, Megan McLaughlin, and Joey Moser. Thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or here on YouTube. Click like and subscribe. And wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow and a very happy Thanksgiving.